Amen. All right, we're in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I just have a couple points, and then we'll just let the Lord speak to us through the points, and then that'll be it. Amen. Amen. Because what I've learned is, it's not in the abundance of words. And I am my mother's child. And that's a good thing. But we like to talk. Amen. And sometimes I just talk to hear myself talk. I feel like I need to talk. If it's silent, that means I need to talk.
That's right.
But, amen, really, you know, a couple words spoken, if they're from the Lord, is good enough.
Amen.
It's good enough. Amen. So we're in Hebrews chapter 12. Amen. And let's pray. Let the Lord speak to us today. Dear Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We ask you, let it open our hearts and minds that we receive from you, God. God, our prayer is that we can fixate on you, God. God, that we can look, the Bible says, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. God, let us look unto you this afternoon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, we're going to read Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, but the chapter right before that is Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And when you read the first verse in Hebrews chapter 11, we might as well just read it. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So, if I have faith in something, I don't see it, but I believe that it's true. Okay? Just this morning, Catherine and Aaron, little Aaron, I gave them the illustration of a light. I turn the light off, right? And the light's off. And I told them, what happens when I flick that switch? They said, the light's going to turn on. I said, how do you know that? It might not turn on. So what we were getting at is I have faith that when I turn that light switch, the light's going to come on. And it comes on. All of you, you ate a big meal, you come all the way downstairs. You had faith when you plopped yourself in that seat, the seat would hold you up. Right? It'd have been bad if it wouldn't have held you up because you sat down probably pretty just whoo. So if the seat wouldn't have held you up, you really would have hit the dust. Amen. But it held you up because that's what it was created to do. However, we do know that putting faith in certain things just doesn't work. You know, and they'll leave you hurt because you put faith in something that fails you and lets you down. And so Hebrews chapter 11 talks about, we call it the heroes of the faith. And it goes down through a lot of the biblical heroes that it was through faith that they served God. It wasn't, okay, God did this, and you know, their service had to believe in a God before they seen the evidence. And so that is faith. Verse 6, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. So without what? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you have to jump in there. And I was kind of thinking of this today. Like, we'll get to the stories here in a second. But Father Abraham. So the Bible says God called him out of his land and called him into a foreign land. And God says, I'm going to give you. So God said, get up and move and go. And so he got up. He left his homeland, he left everything he knew, and he put his faith in God that God had a better place prepared for him. And as you read down through all of these, just verse 8, chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. And then verse 10. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then verse 13 is a tough scripture. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but have seen them afar off. It's hard to have faith when you don't receive. And so God promised to these believers in the Old Testament, He promised them things that never came to fruition during their lifetime. Jesus Christ never came during Father Abraham. In fact, Father Abraham, he was the father of what ended up being the nation of Israel, all the Jews. They didn't own any of that land. He wandered around through that land, and he wandered and wandered and wandered and wandered all the way through that land, and none of it belonged to him. But God promised that it was going to be his. So he died believing in God. Amen. And the Bible says that we need to have faith to please God. To please God. So now we go over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Amen. And this is what it says. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So what are the cloud of witnesses? All of the saints of God that have gone on before us. They're a testimony to us that they believed in God, they trusted in God, and they went on before us, and they let us know that the race is worth running. It's not all of a sudden we're the first ones ever to run this race of faith, trusting in Jesus. No, we're not the first ones. There have been many, many that have gone on before us. Amen. And then the Bible instructs us, because of the clouds of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin and run the race with patience. And we're not going to focus on this here today, but there are times when things get in the way of our faith and they discourage us and they kind of weigh us down and burden us down. And sometimes you come into a church service, and I'll be honest with you, today I come into the morning service and I had no energy. I had no emotion. I had no get up and go. Sometimes you get up here and you think, whoa, man, wow, he always has get up and go. No, I don't. Sometimes I just have to have faith, and I put my faith in God, and it says, you are real, God. You do deserve to be praised, God. You do deserve my very best. Because this morning, my very best, I really had to dig deep. But why did I dig deep? I dig deep because my faith was in God. And what I was doing was for the glory of God, not for my own glory. And so I got up here and I gave it. I hope I gave it my very best, because I gave it for him, because my faith is in him. This is the important scripture. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. So who are we supposed to look to? Is Jesus. So Jesus is who we're supposed to look to. And when we look to Jesus, what are we looking to? His death, his burial, and his resurrection.
Hallelujah.
Because Jesus went through pain, and he suffered at the hands of sinners, and he suffered at the hands of people, because he did that for us. So when I put my faith in something, it's kind of hard to put my faith into meaningless things. We do it, though. But it's hard, because I know they're probably going to let me down. Like, sorry, forgive me for using this illustration, but putting your faith in a sports team is going to win. Now, the chances are there's many other sports teams. Your sports team's not going to win. It's going to let you down. Amen. So it's discouraging. But when you're looking unto Jesus, you put in your faith in the Son of God. And that word there, looking, when you really look into it, it kind of means gazing, fixating, focusing in, like locked in on something. Now, funny story. When I was a kid, my mom can testify to this. Got a TV. And my wife can too. We're watching a movie. Completely, I zone out. I'm watching my son and he does that. Completely zone out. Like, locked right in. There could be chaos going all around and locked right in. It's like you're waving your hand in front of them and they're locked right in. They're fixated. They're focused
on one thing and their mind is consumed in that, to all of a sudden the outside world is shut out. And so that's what it's saying. It's saying looking onto Jesus, fixating, focus, just all of our attention, all of our energy. Now, the outside world will come caving in and we'll get distracted and we'll look here and look there. But that's why coming to church and that's why reading our Bible and that's why praying is so important, because what we're doing in the moments is we're fixating back on Him. We're focusing back on Him and looking on Him, because that is so, so, so important.
Amen.
And what are we doing? It's saying, verse 3, for we're considering him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and you faint in your minds. Because there's a possibility of us getting weary and fainting and just kind of like falling asleep. Now, right now, the temptation is great. Sunday, you ate a meal. Normally, when we don't have service, you sit in your rocker. So the temptation is to fall asleep, but not only that, spiritually, kind of just to lose your focus. Because the Bible says if you lose your focus of Jesus, you're going to be weary and you're going to faint in your minds. Amen. I love my Uncle Tom. I have two Uncle Toms. One's my pastor, but I'm talking about my other Uncle Tom, Sister Judy Jazarek's husband. He would play with us kids when we were growing up, so this story involves him. We would play football. And I'm 100% sure he did not do this intentionally. But it happened. We were out and we were playing catch. And he goes, run, I'm going to lead you. And he threw the football. And I was running and I looked back and I was fixated on the ball. And I was looking at the ball and the ball was over my head. And I ran and I jumped right into a rose bush. Boom, right into a rose bush. Hit him, man, fell. Boy, he felt so bad. I know he felt so horrible. He never intended that to happen. But the point of the message, or the point of the illustration, was I was fixated on the ball so much that it was all about the ball. I don't know if I caught the ball. Maybe I did catch the ball. But if I would have got my eye off the ball and would have saw the rose ball bush, I wouldn't have caught that ball, right? The ball would have been into the rose bush, and I'd have been like, whoa, wait a minute, there's a rose bush right there. I'm not. But the point is no matter what, I was going to catch that ball. And sometimes in life, we get our eyes off of Jesus, and all of a sudden we miss the ball. We miss Jesus. We miss an opportunity. We miss a new growth, a new thing, and God touching or God ministering. Or sometimes we only want to focus on Jesus at certain times, and we miss blessings from God. We miss help from God. And so I want my eyes to be fixated on Jesus Christ. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, I want to look unto Him. I want to be fixated on Him. One more portion of Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 12. Sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. All right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And this is what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Give you a second to get there. Okay. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I am persuaded in Jesus Christ. I am persuaded that he is the answer for my life. He is the answer for my family. He is the answer for the church. He is the answer for the community. And so that is why I fixate on him. And Paul said, I am persuaded, for I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to do what? He's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. God's going to keep me. He's going to keep my family. He's going to keep the church. He's going to keep, sometimes things might not look good, and I'm like, Lord, Lord. But I fixate my eyes back on him. Because when I get my eyes on the problem, impossible. It's done. Write it off. Situation dead. Never going to happen. But I look to Jesus in prayer. I look to Jesus in worship. I look to Jesus with everything. And like the scripture says, I lay aside every weight and every sin that would distract me from him. And I fixate on him. I focus. I gaze. You know, think about it that way when you start, when you open your Bible and you read it. What you're doing is you're gazing. If someone's gazing, they're just mesmerized. Like I was sitting there as a young boy watching a show or whatever. I was mesmerized. So somebody that's reading the Bible and wants to know about Jesus, they become mesmerized. You know, and how does that happen? That happens when you fixate on the Word. When you hang on the Word. Lord, I want to know about you and I'm reading it. What's that about? Wait a minute. What's in your reading? And then you pray about it. Lord, I want that in my life. I'm reading in the Word of God. Or they're singing songs during church. And what's happening? Some of the youth today and some of the others in the church that were fixated on God. You know, there was a whole group of people. But to them, it was them and God. And that's all it was. And I'm sorry for putting you out there. I think you're okay with it. But our sister was fixated on God. Amen. Because what happens is if we're not fixated on God, what's that one person going to think? And what's that person going to think? And all of this. But no, when you're fixated on God, it's just you and God. And you're having a moment with God. And in them moments, God will really bless you. God will really do things in your mind and in your heart, and he'll transform you and set you free and fill you with the Holy Ghost and heal your body and all kinds of things. God will do that because it's you and him. You and him. Let's continue on reading these couple scriptures. Just read 12 again, and then we'll read 13 and 14. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. I don't want to lose what I have with God. I don't. But the reality is, we talked about it earlier, is sometimes we faint. We lose heart. Another interpretation of that is discouraged. That scripture we read before, faint, discouraged. You kind of just get discouraged to give up. But turn your eyes on Jesus, the song says, and look full in his wonderful face. Yes. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. I don't want to lose focus on him. No. Amen. That's all I have this morning. Because really simple. It's really simple serving God. I need him. He is the answer to everything. He is the answer to all my life problems. He is the answer to every situation that comes into my presence. He is the answer. Now, some of it takes action on our part. So I can't just say, oh, Lord, fix it. No, sometimes it's, oh, Lord, help me fix it. And so I still got to make a move. But all the while, I'm looking at him. I think real quick of the story. Peter, Jesus is walking on the water. And Peter looks out on the troubled sea. And he said, Jesus, is that you? His eyes were locked on Jesus. And Jesus says, it is I, Peter. And Jesus, Peter says, can I come out to you? And Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat. He wasn't looking at the waves at that moment. He was locked right on Jesus. The storm was crazy. The other disciples are probably reaching for Peter. No, Peter, what are you doing? Because they were looking at the storm. Peter beat him. He got out. The disciples step back and they're all watching him. They're like, whoa, Peter's walking on the water. And Peter was still in the middle of a storm. It's almost like he didn't even know he was walking on the water, I bet. Because his master was out there. And he was going to his master. Takes a step, a few steps. And all of a sudden, the Bible said, he began to look around him. He got his eyes off of Jesus. And as he looked around him, the Bible said he began to sink. Because he got his eyes off of Jesus. The storm began to consume him. And then he reached up his arm. And forgive me for not knowing the details of the story. But Jesus was right there. And Jesus grabbed a hold of him. And then Peter looked back up at him. Jesus pulled him back up, and then he kept his eyes on Jesus, and he walked the rest of the way on the water back to the boat. And so, I'm not telling you to walk on the water, but I am telling you, you can walk on the waters of life circumstances if you have your eyes on Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we don't